Well, the message was clear yesterday. Be ready to launch nuclear strikes at any time. Robin, it was not a line from last night's debate. It was the order from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un that he gave to his country's military. The threat is the latest in the authoritarian government's ramped-up propaganda push to signal its strength in the face of what it says are threats from South Korea and the United States. Jim Walsh is Here and Now's security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program, and he's here in the studio with us now. Jim, what do you make of this latest bluster? More of the same?
Well, Peter, you know, it just wouldn't be right if we had a UN Security Council sanctions resolution and it wasn't followed by verbal recriminations, firing projectiles into the sea, and nuclear threats. I mean, one sort of goes with the other.
You're referring to UN sanctions against North Korea because of this missile launch that they made. But what about that, these sanctions? I mean, what else can we possibly do with sanctions that we haven't already done?
Well, to their credit, American diplomats did arrive at a sanctions resolution that is tougher than it's ever been before. I mean, it has brand new things like bans on jet fuel and that sort of thing. On the other hand, when we passed sanctions 3 years ago and 3 years before that, those were the toughest sanctions ever passed on North Korea, and they really didn't alter Korean behavior. And so I think while the language may be great, there are real reasons why that doesn't have an impact on what North Korea does in its nuclear and missile programs.
So no reason to be concerned.
Well, I think what's going to happen is the sanctions will be partially enforced by some member countries, and then North Korea will develop tactics to get around some of those. And then, you know, 3 years from now, they'll have another nuclear test. So that's sort of on average what they do.
The BBC's John Sundworth had a report out today from a port in China, not far, obviously, from North Korea. He said the waters were just teeming with barges carrying North Korean coal. Interesting relationship, as we've talked about over the years, with China and North Korea. What do they say about all this? Where are they standing?
Well, you put your finger on something that was arguably the most interesting section of this new UN sanctions resolution. That is to say, restrictions on coal and iron ore and other sorts of exports. The problem was that the front part of that language was very tough, and the back part said, yes, but. No restrictions if these sales are producing money that goes to humanitarian causes or to sort of daily life. And the question is, how do you distinguish a lump of coal where the revenue for that is going to a missile program versus the lump of coal where the revenue is going towards, you know, just the feed and caring of the North Korean people? I think that's going to be very tough to distinguish.
At what point does China have to back off from North Korea?
Well, North Korea does not, a nuclear North Korea is terrible for China's foreign policy objectives. It makes China look weak. It riles up the hawks in Japan and South Korea, causes all sorts of problems, desires for air defenses. But the only thing worse than a nuclear North Korea is a failed North Korea sitting on the Chinese border. So I think the Chinese, we can work with them. It's in their interest to go after some of this dual use procurement, the weapons procurement, but they're not going to squeeze a North Korea on sort of big issues like coal and iron for fear that it will either crack or go completely rogue, even more rogue than it is now.
Yeah, there's another issue here. Just today, the U.S. and South Korea opened talks on deploying a sophisticated American missile defense system in South Korea. This is something that North Korea clearly sees as a provocation.
Yeah, it's not only that it sees North Korea sees it as a provocation. This is another one of those things that China doesn't like about the North Korean situation. China says, we don't want you to have this air defense because that can just as easily be pointed at us as it can the North Koreans. So now, this is another way of putting leverage and pressure on China to see if they'll play ball on enforcement.
You've got to wonder, as you look at the political climate in the United States these days, if there's not something to that. Kim Jong-un said, quote, at an extreme time when the Americans are urging war and disaster on other countries and people, the only way to defend our sovereignty and right to live is to bolster our nuclear capability. And it makes you wonder if he's referring to something that the Obama administration is saying or doing, or if he is listening, like the rest of us are, to some of the presidential candidates in this cycle.
Well, I think a lot of that rhetoric predates the campaign. And in my own view, North Korea has no need for nuclear weapons. They are, as it is, they have what would be called conventional deterrence. They have thousands of artillery tubes pointed at Seoul. If there were ever really a war, that would be their first line of defense. And so I don't think they have a need for it. But unfortunately, both for domestic reasons, as the young Kim consolidates his situation, and also for bargaining leverage, and now apparently for other reasons, they continue down the nuclear path.
Jim Walsh, Here and Now security analyst with MIT's Security Studies Program. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Peter.